I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a few minutes, the new chairman of the Republican National Committee, Michael Steele, we hope he'll be with us. But first, we're going to open the pages of the Washington Post magazine, as we do just about every week, to find interesting stories about the way we live now. Today, we want to talk about, you know, the big game last night, and not just the game, but the halftime show. The Washington Post's Liz Clark has more than a passing interest in both. As a sports writer, she's been to more than her fair share of Super Bowls. And this year's halftime performer was Clark's all-time favorite, The Boss. It was a big moment for Bruce Springsteen, but Liz Clark planned to turn away, not because she wasn't into his music, but because she loves him too much. Liz Clark wrote about her infatuation with all things Springsteen in this week's magazine, and she's here with me in our studio now. Welcome.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
Tell the truth. You really didn't watch.
I did not watch, but I'll tell you, I had such an urge to watch. I was bombarded with emails yesterday from people saying, you know, do yourself a favor, watch. Don't be so hung up on this. But as fate would have it, my cable went out. So I got I failed to get the converter box. It was my fault. So a greater hand was at work. I could not watch. So I didn't watch. I'd like to say I have the strength to stand by my convictions. But
And what are your convictions?
Oh, you know, well, the story, I was really trying to write as much about fandom and the arc of fandom and the ebb and flow of a 30-year relationship with someone you don't really know, a relationship with art, you know, with music, as I was Bruce per se. But, you know, for me, I kind of draw the line with Bruce at performances in football stadiums and in that scale. And it's because, kind of as you said, I love him too much.
He doesn't belong there.
Well, I don't think he does. I mean, when I was growing up, the guitar gods of the 70s would like turn their backs to the audience and chug whiskey, you know, and that was kind of what was cool. But when I first saw Bruce in 1978, it was totally about the interplay with the audience, and you got the feeling that he couldn't perform without you. I mean, athletes perform all the time, whether there's an audience or not. You know, they do it for free. They're obsessed. But Bruce makes music, and the audience is a part of it. And that intimacy, you know, it's lost to a certain extent in a basketball arena. But to me, it's totally illusory in a football stadium.
You first heard Born to Run when you were 15 mm-hmm. years old. You heard it on the radio?
Sure, WPGC.
And you tell the story about how you and your best buddy, your best gal pal, would uh-huh. just wear that record out, that she won
sure.
hers in a contest, and you had to spend your allowance or your hard-earned babysitting money on yours. Well, tell us, what is it that grabbed you?
Oh, that's such a great question, and I hope I speak for some other people. You know, in 1975, there was a lot of harmonious, sweet, saccharines, California, laid-back happiness. And Bruce, it was just this sound that defied the era, defied time. It was this force of the percussion, of the saxophone, of the whole orchestral noise, and then this voice that was, I hate to say primal, but it was just so raw and full of yearning and aching, and it just moved me. I mean, I felt it go through my soul, and I was 15, and I wasn't a guy, and I wasn't from New Jersey, but I just felt like he speaks for me.
And to show what a fan you are, I'm going to play a clip, and I'm going to have you tell me what it is. Here it is.
Jane moves over to share a pillow, but opens her eyes to see Johnny up and putting his clothes on. She says, those romantic young boys, all they ever want to do is fight.
What is it?
It's Incident on 57th Street.
There you go.
And it's just my favorite song, and it's the one that I, you know, literally would cry to and play to and put myself to sleep to. And I will say, Michelle, I'm getting like lit up on the internet as this ungrateful shrew, you know, for having the temerity to criticize Bruce for this latest artistic choice. But I just love his music so much. It meant so much. And to some extent, I probably am stuck in the past, a little too much in love with his early work and maybe my youth, and probably not letting him grow up and people say I should grow up as well.
Well, exactly, except that you told us that you had to be in and out of this interview strictly on time because you need to get on the phone to start dialing for your tickets for your next Springsteen concert. Is that right?
Am I right? Well, yes. I mean,
so
my faith will never
persists.
Be. Exactly. It's sort of like a relationship when someone disappoints you and you keep coming back. And not that Bruce owes me anything. I can never repay what his music has done for me. But no, I had to sit out the Super Bowl. I couldn't bear to watch something like that. But my faith is strong. I am dialing like a maniac at 10 a.m. and I will not miss the tour, and I will never let him put out a record that I don't buy.
How many concerts have you been to?
It's a little over 100. I've seen him in bars a lot, but I mean, that's kind of mild compared to a lot of fans. Some people would say I'm just a dabbler.
Okay, we'll dabble away. We'll let you go so you can go get those tickets.
Michelle,
you got
thank
a spare
you.
One. You're going to invite me, right?
Absolutely. All right. That would be great.
Washington Post sports writer Liz Clark writes about her. How can we put it? Her
obsession.
Her obsession with Bruce Springsteen
in
this week's Washington
Adoration.
Post magazine. You can read the full article at our website. It's called He's the One. Just go to the Tell Me More page at npr.org. Liz, thank you. Okay, go.
Thank you, Michelle.
Bye. Go. Get those tickets.